Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. Now, I want to talk about the Denis Villeneuve versions of Dune. It's a two-part movie series. Spoilers for Jeremy, although we can talk vaguely about this. Jeremy's saying it's okay, so I will spoil some things. This has made Dune incredibly relevant to the mainstream, who didn't really care about it before. And despite both parts running over 5 hours combined, these two films don't adapt every word of the original text. Quite a bit ends up getting left out. And having read the book, I will say my opinion is... Villeneuve found the correct stuff to cut from the book. Some of the things I find stupid in the book that take up space for no reason are not in the movie. There's a long-running subplot where I believe it's Duncan Idaho and or Gurney believe that Jessica is the person who killed Prince Leto. And it's a very long thing of them being mad at her and plotting against her. And then in one conversation, it's over. And it just feels like, well, you wasted, I don't know, 70 pages of my life with this needless subplot. Yeah. That's gone. If you don't want to see an evil baby kill the Baron, that's not part of this version of the movie.
You don't want Ellie, a super baby who killed the Baron?
I think my wife called her Stewie.
She is kind of a Stewie. No, to be fair, Stewie is an Alia because Alia came first, so...
That's true.
But this is the final boss of Parasite Eve, right?
Evil baby?
It's close.
Probably.
But I will Fine say, baby. Like, the person who kills Baron, it feels like a much more satisfying end to that villain's story.
Yeah. I mean, there's stuff later on where, like, it kind of makes sense to have Alia, but, like, for just the one movie and, like, the first book, you don't really need to have her, I guess.
But I'm glad you brought the doctor stuff, because that's something that also stood out to me a lot, because in the book, you're basically introduced to the doctor, and like within the introduction of the doctor, it's like, oh yeah, it's the doctor. He's the traitor. And like it goes up right away.
Yeah.
And right. I feel like each film has sort of put a little bit more suspense on that, even though the book makes it quite up front. And that what makes it all the weirder, that in the book, you're introduced to the doctor, you know the doctor's the traitor, and yet you still have all this stuff about other people suspecting other traitors, even though you, again, as the reader, like, that's how you learned who the doctor even was. So why are we doing this? Why are we pretending someone else is the traitor?
Obvious. Yeah, I think that's, like, a fair point, that, like, cutting Alia makes sense. And, like, I think he mostly hit a lot of the stuff that is not, like, necessary to the books. I will say that, so I saw, I've seen both Dune 1 and Part 2. And the first one, I hated it. Mm. I think I gave it like 2 stars on Letterboxd, and I almost left in the first hour. I was so bored. Like, I just thought it was really like the performances were wooden, but then they added these little like half jokes in the dialogue, like kind of like Marvel style. The fight scenes were really boring. There's like none of like the eco-social stuff that makes Dune Dune. And I really felt like the first Dune movie benefited a lot from coming out in a climate where we were still so saturated with superhero movies that people were really desperate for a blockbuster that didn't have anything to do with that. And a lot of my friends loved that movie, and I just, I was like, this is like fucking terrible. And then I saw the second one back in March, and I was really impressed with the way he pulled it together, which is crazy because the second half of that book, like you say, is a lot harder to deal with. And I even thought, you know, I think Timothée Chalamet has a face that when you look at it, you're like, you know what a cell phone is. So it's really hard for me to like place you in like a historical or sci-fi world because you're looking at your iMessages. but I feel like he pulled off being kind of a freak. Mm-hmm. And Zendaya, who I'm like still not like, I feel like whenever I see her, I'm like, okay, I'm watching a perfume commercial. But even like, you know, she was also pretty good. And like, the one thing that was a little weird to me was when they made Stilgar into like a memeable comedy guy. But even that, I'm like, okay, you need like something. You need something, right? In like a 3-hour movie that's sort of funny. And having him being like, Lisan al Gaib is like, okay, sure. Yeah. That's like the least bad way you can do that, I think.
Yeah, I understand all of the choices he made and why he made them. None of them feel inexplicable to me. Like you said, Merritt Stilgar, I feel like he was tweaked slightly because otherwise it would be a humorless 2-hour and 47-minute movie, right, with just nothing to smile
no
at.
No levity just, at all, yeah.
Yeah. So I can see why, but yeah, I really love these movies. Shocking statement for me. I think Denis Villeneuve, he made the good Blade Runner movie. Everyone's really mad at my Blade Runner episode, by the way, so I'm just adding more fuel to the fire. But I loved his Blade Runner movie, and I only saw it recently.
Huh. Oh, one more thing about the Dune Part 2. I think the best performance of that movie was Austin Butler, who I have never seen in anything else, as Feyd Rautha. And it's incredible to me that they made him as like off-putting as possible by covering him in like shaving his head and putting him in prosthetics and like no facial hair at all. And he's become like a Tumblr sexy man.
Yes. Like,
that seems, I mean, this is the Benedict Cumberbatch people. So yes,
that is true. Yeah. But like he's, but at least,
not say names,
no, I guess you're right. It's basically a continuation of that. It's like, oh, what? Bald, like hairless serial killer, sociopath. Like, yeah, yes, please. Right. Yeah.
I can fix him.
Yeah. The second you said Austin Butler's name, Merritt, I thought, oh, when I go onto Letterboxd and look at Dune 2 reviews, half of them are like, step on me, Feyd Rautha.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I think they because obviously in the Lynch version, Sting is there and it's like kind of funny that he's wearing a metal diaper. But in this one, it's like, but even like the meme stuff aside of like him being like hot or whatever, just a really good performance, like incredibly unsettling. And just like a memorable villain, I think so.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him at all. I thought it was the Pennywise guy from the It movies.
Oh, Skarsgård. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I thought it was him because he was so like, you know, demented. And I looked at his eyes and like he had the crazy eyes. Like, oh, it's the guy who did the clown thing. Like, no, it's not him. It's not him at all. Yeah. This is Elvis. It's new Elvis.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Elvis. I feel old yet.
Well, we mentioned superhero movies in the context of, you know, when this original Dune film came out, or the Villeneuve Dune films came out. And I don't know if it's me being cynical, but I was surprised that the first one was a hit after seeing it, because it felt like, oh, I assume most people will think this is boring, but I'm a weirdo who's into it. But big hit enough to make a second movie and presumably a third movie, however he splits that up. So I don't know if it's like after Endgame, people just wanted a different flavor, and this was the most opposite flavor there was cinematically.
Well, I think at least part of the credit has to go to the pandemic. You know, the pandemic really screwed up a lot of motion picture releases. And I think the fact that Dune stuck it out, and Dune, you know, I think Dune probably came out on top as a big movie that came out, and it wasn't, I don't think it was it even delayed, or was it always 2021? I don't remember, but
I think it might have all been filmed before COVID.
Oh, I'm definitely sure, but I'm saying I was the target always that time. I don't know, but
yeah, I'm not sure.
During the course of that year, like a lot of movies that were supposed to come out either didn't come out, or they were left over from 2020. And I know like all of Marvel's movies were all jumbled around, and they came out at weird times, or they were, you know, oh, release them at home, but we're also releasing them in the theater. It was like, no, Dune was like, this is a movie theater movie. Go out and see it. And I did, and I was like, yeah, this, you know, this is cool. And when I saw the part two, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I remember being in the theaters this spring, and when, you know, when Paul Follett rides that worm, like, I felt like the building was shaking. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just taken aback, you know?
Yeah, I guess they are really good movie theater experiences. And, you know, when you see Dune, you're not thinking, oh, what is phase 5 of Dune going to be like? And what's the stinger scene going to entail? You know, Dune part one will be followed by Dune part two, and then they'll adapt the next book. And I'm sure there are money hungry executives trying to find ways to get a Dune TV series. I'm sure that the ink is still wet on the contract for that. But it is refreshing for these sci-fi properties that they are not exhausting.